Oh, okay. There I am. Boy, I can say, usually I have a louder mouth than that, but it's like, whoa. For decorating, but in the there's some boxes in the back. Why are they back there? Because I didn't want to put them out front. But also, we're not ready for them. There's a plan and an organization to the way you do things. Vaughn and I were here the other day, and we tried to hang the ornaments, but there wasn't a tree. And so it was like, oh, okay, we have to have the tree before we can hang the ornaments, right? We can hang them somewhere else, but you know what I mean? And we wanted to put the lights up, but again, we needed the tree to do it. So we put the tree together, and then guess what? There were dark spots where things weren't plugged in because there were too many plugs. And if I can get this to plug in, is it plugging in? Maybe we won't have lights. There. But we worked at it, and we worked at it, and it got done. And so there's different things, but there's different boxes here. Now, who can tell me what's in this box? Air? Something. Can you read that from there?
The round thing you hang on the wall. The round
things you hang on the wall. That's wreaths, huh? You can tell that I put it on there, right? It's the round things you hang on the wall in there. Now, if you come up here, these boxes are real dusty because we haven't used them in a long time, almost a year. They've been back in the storage. And so you could peek inside. Oh, look, what's that going to be?
It's a star.
So you get an idea by peeking inside what's there. If you look on the back table back there, there's a stable. It has a sheep, a cow, and a donkey laying in it, patiently waiting for the rest of the cast, right? But it's not time for the rest of them to be there. And what are we doing? And so we come up here, and if we move this star over, come on, move over gently. What do we have here? A picture of the cast. The nativity scene, the people who's going to be in there. So there's an order to the way things are going, but there's no Mary and Joseph yet because they're coming. So we're celebrating Advent. So in celebrating Advent, we've been lighting candles. Last week, we lit the prophecy candle. This week, we're lighting. Can you guess what we're going to light this week? Maybe. This is the Bethlehem candle. I love the Bethlehem candle because I like to talk about Bethlehem and tell you a little bit about Bethlehem and what's going on. Bethlehem of Judah means house of bread. And that's very appropriate for this time of year because Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life.
So
oh, some of them aren't. Excuse me. Sorry. This morning was crazy. So I'm the bread of life. But Bethlehem is a small town. How many of you guys grew up in small towns? Then a price. How many grew up in small towns? I did. I grew up in Wilson Lane, just outside of Ogden. And that's basically what Bethlehem was. It's a little town just outside of Jerusalem.
Okay. You're good.
So here's Bethlehem. It's 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It's 80 miles away from Nazareth. Now later, Joseph and Mary, they're going to make the trek to that stable back there where those animals are patiently waiting. And she's pregnant, so it's good, depending on how well they can travel, it's going to take them any place from 4 to 8 days to make the journey. To give you a clue what that is, it's about for walking from here to Santaquin. I don't want to do it. I walked a long way one time. The elevation was 2,500 feet in altitude, and they're just off the main road that leads to Hebron and Egypt. So it was kind of close to a freeway, but not quite. And the altitude and its close proximity to the ocean gives it kind of a Mediterranean atmosphere and temperature-wise. Average temperature in the summertime, 73 degrees. I can live with that. Average temperature at wintertime, 57. I can live with that. Average rainfall, 18 and a half inches of rain per year. It's surrounded by farmland and stuff like that that's there. And it's a small thing. It's actually located right on the edge of the Judean desert. So the desert's here, and here it is, here. So this is the green land. There's lots of olive and fig and different fruit trees and grapevines. So there's a lot of agriculture there. It's surrounded by the Fertile Valley. It's an old city. It's been around a long time. It's mentioned in the scriptures. And again, it's not up on the screen, sorry. In 1 Chronicles, it says that Salma, the son of Caleb, is described as being the father of Bethlehem. Okay? So he's the father of Caleb. Who's Caleb? Caleb is one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land, and he and Joshua came back and gave a good report. Said, we need to go take it. Well, one of his sons is credited with being there. Other famous people, other things that have happened to people who have been there, in the book of Judges, chapter 17, Micah, who stole some idols, was in there. In chapter 19, the Levite and his concubine, who was stupid and didn't take up lodging, and his concubine ended up dying. Those two people in the Judges were part of Bethlehem, and they came from Bethlehem. In Genesis 35:19, it says, So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath. Thank you. That is Bethlehem, which is Bethlehem. Now, you know, Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife. He worked 14 years for her. People often say, well, he worked 12 years. No, he worked 14. He worked 12 the first time and 12 again. But he got to be with her the second time. But she was the favorite. But she, while they were traveling, she died. And they buried her beside the road on the way to Bethlehem. Rachel, as she was dying, named him Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob named him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Again, those both apply to Jesus because he knew sorrow and he was on the right hand of God. In Ruth 1:1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. So here's Bethlehem again. Naomi and her husband and her sons is having a famine, so they pack up and go to Moab. They get over there, the sons get married, and the sons and the husband die. So they come back, or at least Ruth and Naomi do. And Ruth ends up marrying Boaz, and a foreigner, not a part of Israel, becomes a part of Jesus' genealogy. That normally doesn't happen, but it does in Jesus' genealogy, and it's just fine. In Second Chronicles, Rehoboam, son of and successor to King Solomon, King Solomon's son, fortified Bethlehem to guard the approach to Jerusalem. What they would do is they would have the city here, and they would put little cities out around to be strongholds and guards to help protect the city. So Bethlehem was there, but it was a little city. And what's God doing? Using it. Okay? I came from Wilson Lane, a small place. But I grew up there and I learned things happened in my life that I needed to have happen. Israel was carried off into captivity. In 538 BC, before Christ, Bethlehem came back, but just a few. of them. And many people thought the city was kind of not important, an important city. But then they found some artifacts that show that, yes, at one time in its early life, it was a big-time major concern. One of the things, it was the home of David. That's where the royal palace was. And that's why they say this, they always call it the city of David. And David was always in that city, and that was his place where he lived when he was king. When he was king. And he was also in that city before he was king. And when the people wanted to have a king, and they petitioned Samuel for a king, where did the king come from? Bethlehem. So King Saul was from Bethlehem. And when they said he was going to be king, he said, I'm from the smallest town and the small, you know. But there was something about him. And 1 Samuel 9:17 said, when Saul caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I have spoken to you about. He will govern my people. And he did for a short time. Well, he did it for about 40 years. But he was a good king part of the time. But he was very good looking, very built. He was a head taller than anybody else around. What was his downfall? His insecurities. When they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. He became jealous of David. But yet, even though he was bigger than anybody else, when Goliath came, because the whole area around that thing was captured by Philistines at the time, Goliath was coming out doing his challenge. King Saul was there, but he wasn't taking him up on it. Neither was anybody else. But little David comes along, and to do it, David became his successor. And at Bethlehem, like I said, in Bethlehem, what did David do? Tended sheep. And sheep are hard to tend because they are really dumb. Have you been around sheep? They are really dumb. You can take a string and put it up and put a cloth along it. They won't go through it. One of them jumps off a cliff, they'll follow. I read a story about one time when they had an incident happen over there. A sheep jumped off the cliff, and before they could stop him, 500 sheep had jumped over the edge. Now, they didn't all die, because when you get 500 sheep jumping, pretty soon they're breaking your fall. And so some of them died, but 500 of them right behind each other. Sounds like something some of us would do. But here's Goliath. He's out there challenging people. Come on, come out and fight me. If you win, that'll be great. If you win, we'll serve you. If we win, you serve us. But Saul didn't want to do it. But yet David said, I will. And Saul said, good for you. Go do it. Right? Wrong. Have you ever noticed that people that are insecure, they kind of spread it? If you say you're going to do something, you're going to be positive about something, they go, maybe you can't do that. It'll never work. Yes. It'll never work. It'll never happen. You can't make it happen. And in 1 Samuel 17:33, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You were only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. You can't do it. You're just a boy. You can't do that. You're too old. You can't do that. You're a girl.
Watch me. Yep.
What's that song? Hear Me Roar? Yeah. No. But yeah, God planned everything out. All right? God planned it all out. Whoever manufactured this tree planned it out. It just didn't happen one day. Or they didn't throw a bunch of stuff in a tumbler and go, and out came a tree. It didn't happen because the holes had to be drilled in the right places and the brackets put on there so the limbs would fold up. The lights had to be attached to the limbs. Thank God.
Amen.
Oh, that's one of my... I hate putting lights on trees. I don't like... In fact, I don't really like decorating trees. I like the result, but I don't like decorating because it takes too much time. I want to take the box and... Oh, three ornaments stuck. That's enough. Yeah. But God had a plan from before time. Before anything happened, before any creation or recreation happened, God had a plan. So when Adam and Eve sinned, it was no big surprise. Oh my gosh, what happened? I didn't see that coming. You know, when God walks into the garden and he's and Adam and Eve are hiding, God says what? Where are you? Doesn't that sound like kind of a, excuse me, dumb question? Don't take it personal. You know,
not for sheep.
But God knew where they were. But God said, where are you? Why would God say, Jody, where are you?
I need to know where I'm at.
To see if you know where you're at. To see if you know if you're following the plan that God has laid out for you. Jesus walked up to a blind man and says, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, a hot dog and a drink would be nice. No, but you know, he says, well, I want to see. Now, does that seem like a stupid question?
No.
No, because maybe it's not he wants to see. Maybe he's having marital troubles and he wants the things in his family worked over. He wants things taken care of. He's got loved friends that are in deep trouble. Like JD was talking about her dad. Somebody may say, you know, what do you want? I want something from my dad, not from me. But you got a broken leg, it'll fix.
Yep.
But God had it worked all out. And God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan.
Yep.
And between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. In other words, he's not going to be able to do much in what he's doing. Okay? And you notice the man's not in there because... the man sinned. Eve was deceived, but man sinned. So he didn't get to be a part of the redemption. He got to stand back and wait for Eve. Okay, when you're through having the baby, I'll get involved. And there was a glimpse that told him a thing, a peek into the box. Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. You're going to call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. And then Jeremiah 21:12. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. You ever question that God's not concerned? He says, I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I'm watching to see if you're doing what you need to. Not to earn anything, but for a best life. God wants us to be happy.
Amen.
Things happen that are crappy, yeah. But God wants us to be happy in what we do and what we're doing. And Bethlehem was also told that would be the birthplace of the Messiah. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but there was a problem. Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem, but Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, 80 miles away. Now, if you're pregnant, would you feel like just going on a weekend walk to the next town 80 miles away? No. You wouldn't want to do it. So God have made an arrangement with the government officials. Luke 2:2-5. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. She was pledged to be married to him. Now, isn't it interesting? They're going up, and it says that they were pledged to be married. And she's pregnant. What's wrong with this picture? Nothing? Why? She's pregnant, and they're pledged to be married. It's God's plan. But in those days, if you have not had relations with each other, you were pledged to be married. Even if you were married, you were pledged until that romantic day happened. And so she was a virgin. God had it all planned out. God planted the seed for the tree. In this case, the plastic for the tree. But God planted the seed, made it grow, put it in a spot where the right person could find it. Where did we get this tree? It was given to us. A friend of mine who makes the windows gave it to me for the church. And we have it. We have another one out in the shed, don't we? 7.5 foot high. Came from the neighbor's house. They were getting rid of it, so we have it. But God had things all planned out in the way things were going to happen. And the whole point that I like about Bethlehem was a small town. It was a small town. But yet some really, really important things took place there. Things that God had planned. Not just happenstance, it was all planned, and it was carried out. That's what it said in Jeremiah. I watched to see that my words are being carried out. I'm telling you what to happen. I'm telling you how to do it. Richard cut some, is that a lantern? Luminator? He didn't throw the thing in there and go, He had to learn to read the instructions. Learn how to do it, right? Did you ever fail? Yeah, because you were learning. We fail, God doesn't.
I blamed it on the machine.
You blamed it on the machine. Oh, he's Adam. It was the woman you gave me. It's her fault. No, it was the serpent. Yeah. Adam's blaming Eve. Eve's blaming the serpent. The serpent doesn't have a leg to stand on, so, go from there. But that's the thing I love about Bethlehem. And it's a prime example of, technically, if you want to get into it, each one of us are small.
Absolutely.
Have you ever sat and just thought about you and the world?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it sometime. You and the world. It doesn't take very much distance to get down the road for you to look like a speck and go another 27 feet and you can't even find you. I was in the World Trade Towers back before they fell. I was up in the 110th floor. You go over to the side and the glass is here and you're looking down. And the World Trade Tower sways 15 feet. So 7.5 feet this way, 7.5 that. You stand and you look straight down. And when you swing that way, you look down the side of the building, and you see these little bitty teeny weeny cars at the bottom. And when it swings back this way, you can't see the side of the building because you can just see down to where the curve is. And then it swings back over and you watch it come back into. I thought I'd be afraid, but it was so gentle that it wasn't. But when you're up, just that 1,100 feet, 110 stories, you go out and you take a flight, you take off. You see the people, then they disappear and you can only see the cars. And pretty soon you just see specks and you can't see. put that in perspective when you're halfway around the world. There's no way you could even be seen. I saw a thing about talking about creation and stars. The biggest star they found, this humongous thing, is that way. Our Earth can't be seen if you're in it. Can't happen. They said, there's a comparison that they used. If you took that, if a golf ball was the size of our Earth, it would take 4 feet deep of golf balls over the whole state of Texas to cover as much space as that God does. And God's running it all, from the teeniest to the biggest. Our planet is just dust. But it's all what God's doing. God's working in our lives, even though we look like dust. Because God cares about us. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't. If he didn't like us. And he does. It grieves him to see houses burned, things destroyed, cars break down, people get hurt. Not part of what God wanted. Not part of the Garden of Eden. I sometimes look at things. I told you I'm a visual. I look at clouds and all this stuff and see how beautiful God's creation is. And then I realize that compared to what God created in the perfect way before the fall, this is nothing. And I can't wait to see. Well, I can wait. I will wait. I'm getting excited to see what perfection is like. And if it's a mirror, I'm going to laugh my head off. Because God's going to make me perfect. So why do we try? Why do we try? I heard a good theory. We have habits. We have trusts. Do we trust God? Do we do this? When we die, we're not suddenly going to go, boom, oh, I trust. We're going to have a lot of bad habits to learn to give up. I mean, I have bad habits. I have bad habits. And I heard somebody one time say when their loved one passed on, they said, finally, they're getting the therapy they need. Okay, Lord. I fall into that category. I'm a Bethlehem. I'm a little speck. But the beautiful part is that it is small. But yet it is an important part of history.
Absolutely.
And it still is. It still is. So if you're feeling rejected or you're feeling like, oh, always, you know, just remember, you're working God's pattern.
Amen.
And God has a plan for your life.
And
the wonderful part about that is it may not be, well, I know it's not going to be huge. I haven't done any huge things in my life, but I've done things that I needed to. I've done things that I needed to. You're singing on the praise team because God wants you there. You may not be a great singer, but God wants you there. So look in the mirror and say, thank you. Thank you. Because it's wonderful. And it's little. It doesn't have to be big. But we want it to be. I do. I have to be content and say, thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for the tree. Now, We have decisions to make, right? Vaughn and I put up the tree. You have to decide what's going to go on it. Do you want bulbs? Do you want snow? Do you want angels? What? You want angels. Angels we have heard on high. And when we were trying to get all the lights to work, we found a little end thing that goes on a cord that one of the angels lights up through. It was still hanging on the tree. But you have to decide, what do you want? There's round things we can hang on the wall. Right? Where are we going to hang them? That box over there says garland. Where are we going to put it? Those are decisions we have to make. If we don't want it, we just go put the boxes back in the shed and leave the tree up.
There you go.
Yeah. I haven't had a Christmas tree for years, years and years and years. And I was out helping Kay with your battery the other day. Was that battery, right? You know, and we were talking. She was showing me their trees and stuff. And I go, oh, yeah, I haven't had one for years. Pretty soon she's in the back room. She goes, here's a tree. It's like, okay, thanks. So I get home and I pull in and I say, oh, I forgot the tree. Take the tree out of the car. And Scott goes, what? You bought a tree? I says, well, no, Kay gave it to me. It's this high. And it's one of those little fiber optic, you know, with multicolors. So I plugged it in last night and after working on it. And I just sit there and I looked at it for a little while. Thought about the memories of my grandparents. They had a little aluminum tree before the fiber optics with the color wheel. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had that. We'd go over to my grandparents on Christmas Eve, exchange gifts, you know, buy for one person type thing. And they'd have their little tree with their little ornaments because the tree was only this big. So when the wheel shined, it was like this big and the tree's this big. But I thought about all that when we got together. And we celebrated Christmas and Thanksgiving until my grandpa died. As soon as my grandpa died, it all stopped. And I wondered why. And we never figured out why. But it was fun. But it was work. And we have to decide if it's worth it or not. This tree's worth it. I just plug it in. Don't have to put balls on it. Don't have to do nothing. The last time I used my bulbs and my lights was years ago. They're out in the shed, by the way. 10,000 of them. If you want to use them, go ahead. But the last time I did, I got them out. I dumped them on the table. I dumped this on. I plugged them and went, Merry Christmas! In the box. I lost my joy of it for a while because I worked at Woolworths. I tell you about that, didn't I? I worked at Woolworths, and they played Christmas music 24 hours a day, blaring the same album, Andy Williams. But anyway, we have to enjoy it. God created it to be enjoyed.
Amen.
And what happened with me is I lost it because my focus got off of the reason for the season, the pain of listening to the same stupid songs over and over and not being able to change the channel. And my friend would go get in or work early. He'd go take the record and hide it. So Salzetti would go get another one and put it on. Then you hated that many more songs. But we have to remember, we're celebrating Jesus Christ. We're celebrating Mary and Joseph, who made a trek for 80 miles to spend time in a manger with the donkey and the cow and the sheep because there was no room, there was no guest room available. People always thought it was a barn. Well, it was. But all the sacrifices that took place to bring us to this point where we are right now. I look around and I see there's 14 of us here. Am I depressed? No.
No.
If I was here by myself, I would be. No, I wouldn't. But God's working. God's working. Giving us a foundation of caring.
Amen.
And sharing. How long are we going to have to do it? I can't find the manual. Well, I found that one, but it didn't give a date. So, afterwards, we're going to decorate. Well, Vaughn and I did our part. No. Kay went, oh, yeah, right. But we have to decide, what do we want where? And the more hands make the light work, right? So, anyway, would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for showing us that Bethlehem was small, but it was not insignificant. You had plans for that city. You brought it into existence right after the exile out of Egypt, and it remains today, where many of the cities are gone. You had a purpose, and you have a purpose for that little town. And thousands of people go there every year, thousands and thousands, and get spiritually uplifted through the message of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to not lose sight of the glory and the praises and the blessings that you have for us and that you do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.